Welcome to Kick-Ass Radio, hosted by Jo Sainsbury, founder of Kick-Ass Women. Join Jo over the next hour as she shares stories and conversations that are both inspiring and empowering. Having spent over 30 years in the corporate sector, Jo Sainsbury kicked off her heels and became a coal train driver working in the rail and mining industry. It has been her goal ever since to empower and support women who are considering a career change into an industry role, making the transition as smooth as possible. Jo is a walking, talking success story of how taking the plunge into industry can open up a world of opportunity. And you can do it too. If you're a woman working in industry or considering a career change, this is the radio station for you. Let's get into this episode of Kick-Ass Radio.
Hey there, Glowgetters. Welcome to the Kick-Ass Radio Show. Am I excited for today's show? You bet your kick-ass I am. It's International Men's Day here today, Friday the 19th, and we are celebrating worldwide the positive value men bring to the world, their families and communities. Now, we need to highlight positive role models and raise awareness of men's well-being. One of the six pillars of International Men's Day is to improve gender relations and promote gender equality, not only for men, but for women too. So in this light, the theme for 2021 is better relations between men and women. Now, the month of November is also important for the masculine soul because it gathers several events that are important to men. Movember is the month we focus on raising money for men's health. International Men's Day encourages men to teach the boys in their lives the values, character and responsibilities of being a man. Now, Mahatma Gandhi said, "We must become the change we seek." It is only when we all, both men and women, lead by example that we will create a fair and safe society which allows everyone the opportunity to prosper. So a very big happy International Men's Day, gents. Now we got that out of the way. Priority, back to women. Now, a couple of weeks ago on the show, we had a conversation on the taboo topic of menopause and in particular some residing symptoms. But today we are delving deeper into the M word and in particular menopause in the workplace. And our topic today is very pertinent to each individual and your own workplace. So up to a third of women will experience severe menopausal symptoms that can impact on their quality of life. It is in the work context that women often report greater difficulty in managing symptoms and can feel embarrassed and unable to disclose their menopausal status, fearing they may be stigmatised for being menopausal. And I do know that from my own experience. So the most commonly reported difficulties that menopausal women report at work include poor concentration, tiredness, poor memory, feeling low, depressed and lower confidence. So problematic hot flushes, yes, I experience them at work, have also been linked to women having a higher intention to leave the workforce. So employers are being encouraged to offer awareness and support to this population of employees, and Own Your Own Health Collective has brought together resources and services to help both employers and employees. So to get a better understanding of how we go about starting the menopause conversation at work, we are talking today with a duo of inspirational, certified, holistic health and wellbeing coaches in Natalie Moore and Lisa Saunders, the founders of Own Your Own Health Collective. You are listening to the Kick-Ass Radio Show Kickstart, where we talk about all things women working in non-traditional roles in varied male-dominated industries, and I tell you how it is. I'm your host, Jo Sainsbury, the Glow Getter. I hope we can keep you in good company over the coming hour. A huge shout out to all the women working out on track and on site today, all over the globe. Stay safe and have a fantastic day or night shift. And this might also be a good time for a trigger warning that today's radio show does and may contain some adult language. Let's get into it. All right, we'll bring our guests in. Hopefully we'll bring our guests in.
Hey.
We're here?
We're here.
Excellent. Hello, Natalie and Lisa. Welcome to Kick-Ass Radio. Firstly, thank you for coming onto the show and sharing some of your valuable time with us today. I know you're super busy and I also know we're all going to enjoy your company and we're eager to hear about this invaluable advice you've got to share with us. So welcome.
Thanks, Jo. Hello.
Thank you.
So to kick things off, firstly, tell us a little bit about yourselves and your individual career journeys to date.
Yes, I can jump in, Lise, if you like, first of all. So I started off very ambitious in wanting to get into the workforce, having completed my Bachelor of Business degree, had no idea what I wanted to get into, went and traveled the world for a period of time. And then lo and behold, I fell into a sales role in packaging and manufacturing down here in Melbourne. And at the time, I actually didn't even know what the role sort of involved, what I was getting myself into. Funny, we talk about male-dominated industries, heavily male-dominated industry. And I remained in that career for about 10 years. And, you know, I can sort of reflect, particularly as you were talking in the intro, you know, I would be sitting in meetings of, say, 20 people and would be the only woman in that meeting. And, you know, I was always making sure that I stood my ground and sharing my perspective. But a lot of that changed for me when I had my daughter 7 years ago. I naively, during my pregnancy, thought I'd have my daughter 6 months off, you know, maternity leave, return back to work full time, pick up where I left off. But of course, the universe had a different agenda for me, and I realized just how tricky that mum work life juggle was. And I decided pretty early on, after returning back post maternity leave, that I would come back into this yearning inside me that I wanted to start my own business. And I guess the rest, they say, is history, but it's been about, you know, 6 years now that I first started a very small sort of side hustle, which led me into health and wellbeing coaching and has essentially led me to where I am today in this business of Own Your Health Collective.
Excellent. Thank you. Lisa?
Look, a similar story, I suppose. I've actually got a corporate property background, Jo, and I started off as in property management and valuations. Actually, I studied at uni, did 2 degrees in that area, and in 95 I started a role in property. And it was funny because I was just thinking the other day, I actually finished in 2015. I left that whole career behind me. I just found it just didn't suit me. And I'd always had an interest in food and the health benefits it brings to the body, to us. And coming from a Maltese background, food was very much about bringing people together. And it was just a way of expressing ourselves in love and things like that. And I was always drawn to a health food shop, I have to say. Even as a little girl, I dragged my mum in there it was like a toy shop to me. So I really just and having kids made it even more aware for me of just how powerful food can be, especially when they're just starting off and in solids and things like that. So I left the corporate property workplace in 2015, and I went back to study and now doing nutritional food coaching and health coaching that comes with that as well. So I also had my own separate business and was lucky enough to meet Natalie through a mutual friend. And we did a few things together and realised how lucky we were that we got along really well. We were on the same space, in the way we thought. And that's how Own Your Health Collective came about.
And isn't that always the way? You meet your lifelong friends in the most unsuspecting and least expecting situations, and it's always the best relationships and the best friendships that are formed that way. So great intro, ladies, and yes, congratulations on both your achievements and acknowledgement to your careers and your business to date. So with Own Your Own Health Collective, talk us through who and what is Own Your Own Health Collective and what instigated the startup, particularly why menopause?
Yeah, so if I take you back, and Lisa touched on this, we were both working in our own respective businesses when we met a couple of years ago, and we'd always both had an invested interest in women's health, and we were coming at it from different angles. So I'm very much around, you know, the well-being mindset perspective. Lisa was coming at it from a nutritional point of view, and we thought, you know, we could really come together and introduce this concept of whole health. And that's essentially where we started. We created our own framework, which includes 5 pillars. So looking at the self, the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health of an individual. And under those five pillars, we were able to introduce learning, education, and strategies on how someone could support their whole health. Last year, in the midst of lockdowns and lots of changes happening within Melbourne, we formalised our business, so Own Your Health Collective became official, and we had this vision of working within workplaces and really changing the way people and workplaces looked at their health. You know, there was so much focus around physical and mental health, and of course, rightly so, but we also felt that there were things missing in that messaging. We learned very quickly that we were pretty much up against a lot of other providers as well who were doing similar work. And we still felt that there was a real gap there. And that gap initially for us was that gender-specific health and wellbeing. So looking at both men and women and the differences in the way we perform, we live, our energy. That organically led us to focus in on menstrual health. And we created a signature program called the Female Advantage because we wanted to share that, you know, women, we are powerful beings internally as well as outside, but our body speaks to us so much through our cycles, through the different phases of our cycle each month. And, you know, we really honed in our craft and introduced that whole health concept alongside menstrual health. And then through various conversations, running workshops, working with women, menopause just kept coming up every single time. And what we were actually learning through our conversations is that women didn't even know what perimenopause was, let alone menopause. So it was just a light bulb moment for us. And we've really spent, in particular, this last 12 months really talking about menopause, speaking with women, working with clients, speaking with workplaces as well. And, you know, there's a real gap in knowledge and understanding, and a lot of women and businesses are really at a loss around how to support women through this phase of life. And so that's really, you know, our mission now is to help women come back into their bodies and understand the power that's within them, but then at the same time, educating workplaces around how they can support these women. Because, you know, together, women and their careers, particularly in that 40 plus range, you know, that's their time to really shine in their career. They're seeking that sense of fulfillment and satisfaction, and we want to see that continue on into their years.
And that's right. Like menstrual changes are all that is really occurring, but try explaining that to a department full of blokes. Very nice blokes, most of them, but blokes all the same. Most of them just absolutely scurrying. And I suppose it's a physical change in a woman's body. So I think men can probably go through it as well. And we know some do, but it's mostly associated with women and obviously menstrual cycles, stopping and physical changes. So just the way your body metabolizes, bone densities, all those sorts of things. So a time for women to revisit how they live their life and look after themselves. It's so very important. And I think that menopause is actually quite a psychological step or a change in your life as well. And I suspect that it's about definitely about midlife. Like you said, women in their 40s, that's when they're aspiring to get the more senior roles or that get that promotion. So how they handle that time of their life and coming into perimenopause, I don't call them crises. I just think it's a real review period, and you ladies are definitely helping with resources and getting the conversation about that going. Do you have anything to add there, Lisa?
Yeah, I just it's a good point you make with men, because it affects men almost as much as it affects women, because they've got a mother, a sister, a wife. You know, there's a number of female figures within their life that experience it. So, you know, why not get out there? And, you know, I'd be happily talk in a room with a bunch of men and explain to them exactly what happens through it. And it's really important that they know. And, you know, a lot of them are sort of, they shy away from it because they don't know what they don't know. So giving that education through to them is so vitally important. And that psychological change that you talk about, absolutely. And it's the education as well. A lot of women don't really, you know, things start happening and the perimenopause is so far away from what they think could be happening to them. And there's such a relief with women when they find out that there's actually an explanation for the psychological changes, all the changes that can happen at this very natural time of their life. And, you know, I could talk on, but we just don't have that education starting right back in our high schools and, you know, around that whole biology piece. It sort of just stops with the menstrual stuff, but it doesn't extend from there. And I think, you know, we're doing ourselves a disservice by not encouraging that conversation starting back then as well.
Exactly. And it should start with the teenage or the younger, you know, the tween teenage girls. So introduce them into the menstrual cycle. But then as you progress through life, girls, this is how your menstrual cycle and your life will progress with these body changes, with these psychological changes. So does menopause affect my work? Bloody oath it does. I just get hot and hate it. I would love to be younger again. Yeah. Because I'm sick and tired of seeing the 30-year-olds carrying on as if the older omen is invisible. But, yeah, I found such symptoms as a hot flush. You know, they're hard to handle at times. But for me, myself, and I was talking to Natalie earlier about this, weight gain is a big contributor to my symptoms. So I've got to keep my weight under a certain level and a lot of those symptoms just go away. And that was a trial and error thing. So for me, yes, keeping my weight under a certain level, I'm happy. But as soon as that, if I, you know, step out and go on into bad habits again and the weight starts packing on, that's the end of it and everything comes flooding back in. So, yes, it's definitely good to see that you're creating a message about the whole picture and definitely your health and your lifestyles. It is so such a big contributing factor on how you manage it.
So and true.
It is, yes. It's and you don't want to be disruptive. You don't want to you don't want everyone to, you know, you don't want people fussing over you. It's not a matter of that. It's just accepting that, you know, hey, I'm just having one of those days today. And they're like, yep, no worries. We understand. And they let you, you know, you get on with it. But if they take the attitude, oh, she's just whinging again, or she's, you know, she's always sick or whatever, that's not the attitude to have, especially in a workplace. So we definitely have to coach women how to manage themselves better and how to project and talk about it. You know, let people know that, hey, this is what I'm feeling today, or this is what's happening with me today. Bear with me, you know, I'll get through it. Just give me a bit of space. But yeah, bringing those points out is definitely something we need to start talking about and highlighting to women. Tell us what you're feeling. What are you experiencing? So we can work on those things. Because yeah, everyone. Has different symptoms and goes through the change in so many different ways.
And Jo, you know, we all have our days too. Mm. You know, you don't have to be in perimenopause or menopause. No. You know, our kids will have a day, they'll have a hissy fit. You know, like we all have a day where we just don't feel fantastic. We've had a poor night's sleep, which, you know, sleep in perimenopause, I go through it at the moment. And that can really set you up for a disaster a day, but you don't have to be experiencing perimenopause and menopause.
Yeah,
so
right.
It shouldn't be any different, you know, like it's just, hey, bear with me. I'll go home tonight. I hopefully get a good night's sleep, come back tomorrow and I'll all be done again. It doesn't mean that you can't go about and do things that you need to be doing as well, you know.
Yeah. All right. Anything else we'd like to add in regards to that?
I was just going to say, and we did say this as well in our conversation prior, Jo, that, you know, I get asked, I'm not in perimenopause, I'm a month off my 40th. And that's, you know, they say, how come you're talking about perimenopause? And even my mum, you know, she's 72, she didn't even know what perimenopause was, you know, and look at, you know, she's gone through it. And it's that whole health message, you know, and I've got friends who I talk about perimenopause and it's like, oh yeah, great. You know, it's not on our radar. And I think, you know, because a lot of us coming through our 30s, we're coming out of the baby phase. But it's really important. And I know for myself, you know, just learning so much about where I'm at in my life right now and what I'm feeling, I know that when that change starts to happen, I'm going to hear those whispers in my body. I'm going to understand what I need, you know, to support me through that phase.
And Lockie, I'll just reiterate what Lisa said and what you were saying there too about the age. About other perceptions that menopause and age are the cause of any fatigue or frustration or other behaviours, when in fact you can put them down to exactly what Lisa said, other factors totally that are contributing to unrelated, you know, to age and to the physical change of your body. So, yes, that's right. Everyone can have their bad day or their down day, but, yes, not particularly put it to age, particularly in the 40 to 50.
Have to label it as such. We tend to give it a label of menopause and perimenopause, but we don't do that in previous, you know, and I think that there's an element of not singling it out because, okay, you're clearly going through it. It's just everyone experiences different things, and male or female. So and that makes a good point too about, you know, she's not in there yet, but, oh, my God, how powerful is it that, you know, I think that the sooner that you start really honouring your own self-care and looking after yourself, that transition into perimenopause and menopause can be so much easier. It's not symptom-free by any means. We still have different symptoms. You know, we all experience them differently. But, you know, looking after yourself, moving into it, does make it a whole lot easier, and being aware of it, being educated. So really important stuff. And if there was one basic thing that I had to, you know, that I would say to people or to women especially, is start looking after yourself as soon as you can. It doesn't mean you can't, you know, have a drink here and go out for a beautiful, you know, meal or whatever, or whatever those things that we consider
moderation,
are, you know, treats. Yeah, it's moderation, you know, so really, really important stuff.
Yeah, and that's right. And I know there is, there's lots of cases too where a lot of younger women, even in their mid to late 20s, early 30s, they are having that very early change in their body, and that sometimes is hereditary, genetic. So it affects women of all ages, really. But the more education we can bring about it, the better preparation we can provide. And particularly, yes, we need to start back with the tweens and teens and take them through that whole journey so they are prepared for it. So when we talk about the taboo subjects of water cooler conversations at work, the big M word is like you've just thrown a grenade into the room. Everyone just scurries for cover. So what would you say are some of the common myths that you hear about menopause when women come to you when they're trying to manage it through their workplace, going to work every day?
Oh, look, Joe, there's so many. Some of the ones that come to mind is that, you know, menopause just happens in your 50s, and you just touched on it. And it's so wrong. You know, it would be great if menopause was truly predictable, but it is so not. Mm-hmm. And as we've touched on, that lead up into to menopause is actually called perimenopause. And on average, that starts around your 40s. But for many, and it is for many, it's not the exception, definitely from our research, that for some it can start in their late 30s, and it can be due to, you know, having cancer and having to go into early menopause through different treatments that women have to entail, or genetics, or for some women, they'll just say, I woke up and bang, I was just in it because of, you know, whatever reason. So menopause is actually just that one day that signals having no periods for 12 months. So, you know, we talk about menopause being this big, long thing. It's actually perimenopause, then you have your menopause, then your postmenopause. But we tend to use the term interchangeably, but it can be fraught with a little bit of danger because, you know, that's why some women don't even know what perimenopause is. So, you know, in the workplace, I think it's important that employers and employees consider that a woman can be experiencing perimenopause for quite a long time into that lead up into menopause. And, you know, it comes with it as whole host of challenges, and for some they don't have any at all. But that's one thing. So we're not just thinking, oh, you know, she's in her 50s, so she's in menopause sort of thing. So, and then the other thing is about there seems to be this real perception that, you know, well, you're in menopause, perimenopause, you just need to suffer through the symptoms. And that couldn't be, you know, more further than the truth, because, perimenopause, they start, definitely those symptoms start then, and women don't need to suffer through them. There's so much that they can be doing, and you hit on it before by talking about lifestyle decisions, and definitely our whole health formation around how we treat it, you know, through that, you know, the spiritual, the physical, the self, the emotional, the mental. You need to make change to those. You need to tweak it. And, you know, women probably think, oh, I'm just getting it right, and then this comes up. Yeah, I know, it's a pain in the bum. But, you know, it's just we're always tweaking everything. We're always tweaking our dinner plans or what we're making for dinner or where we go. There's always an element of tweaking. So we've just got to, you know, take that on and support ourselves. And it's also part of the workplace's responsibility to tweak how the workplace is for women and how they can be supported through this transition in their life. And then there's this, one of my, you know, Nat knows this gets me fired up, but reaching menopause makes a woman old and unable to carry out their job.
Now, isn't that a myth?
Isn't this so wrong in so many frigging ways? It's not right. You know, it's not funny. And we've had discussions with women, corporates in the workplace. It says, they become less productive. Don't talk about productivity. Well, you know what? We need to talk about productivity. They're not instantly silly or have lost their brain or it's fallen out of their body. It just means that there is some challenges to the way they work. And, yes, you know, the brain fog, I'll put my hand up, that can really impact your productivity. Oh. I still get my work done. I just do it in a different way. And so women still do their work in the workplace. So they don't lose that ability to be able to carry out how they do that work. So, you know, in the workplace, if women were supported, as I mentioned before, they can get through this. And that could look like having access to a meeting room that might have a different climate control. So if they are having a terrible hot flush, they can just relax and do some breathing techniques, which are just so pivotal in handling a hot flush. And, you know, the ability of a woman to work from home. So she still wants to get her job done, but she's having a particularly trying day. So she's going to put her hand up and has a really good relationship with her manager to say, look, you know, it's just one of those days where I don't think I'm going to make it in. I'm happy to Zoom and do all that kind of stuff. But, you know, we just need to realise that they're still productive and they haven't lost their marbles or anything like that. So I think those water cooler conversations, there's so many more, but they're sort of, you know, things that come to mind at the moment that, you know, if we were able to do some change just around those three things, it would be a different workplace for women to be able to go to. And women love going to work, you know. Women love getting up and having that normal routine. It's just there's some of these things coming in that has altered that a bit. So they tweak it, and that's where the workplace needs to tweak it as well.
And, like, when you said that, like, tweaking it and, like, it affects you from the inside out, so you need to work from the inside out. So turn your dial back a little bit or turn it forward a bit, whichever works for you, and you have to work out. Yeah, it is a trial by error. I found that myself. It's trialing, experimenting, and seeing what works for you and what doesn't work for you. Cross it off the list. That's a pro, that's a con. It's trial or error, but yes, tweaking it, dialing back or dialing forward, however works best for you. And like we all know someone experiencing some form of symptoms, like we said, you know, sisters, aunties, grandmothers, friends, nieces, whatever. But all we can do is be more supportive, have the listening ear, create the conversations, and particularly in the workplace, you know, there's a lot of misplaced ideas about menopause can affect career prospects. And some women hide their menopause symptoms because they want to avoid being sidelined for jobs, you know, and that's in the older generation more so. They're fearful because of their age, you know, oh, they won't put me on because of my age, and they'll be thinking I'm, you know, going through menopause. And so there's a lot of myths out there that we need to dispel, and having more of these conversations, and particularly in the workplace, are very, very paramount to dispelling them.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's almost like, you know, and sometimes you'll have a conversation with someone and they whisper, Yes. Menopause. Like, it's like, what are you whispering for? Like, it's really funny.
We brought that up on the show a couple of weeks ago. I was talking to Sandy Davies of Happy Pause.
Yes, we know Sandy.
And we both brought that up saying, yes,
I'm going through menopause.
What did you say? So it is. It's such a laughable thing to me now, you know, you think, but it is. Everyone kind of just whispers any of those taboo subjects. But
more you learn about it and understand it, you just it's like, you know, there's been so many taboo topics before this one that we now openly talk about in an inclusive and diverse workplace. And that's obviously, you know, I'm loving that we're racing towards that kind of workplace where people can go and feel welcomed and safe. You know, that psychological safety, and this is one of Nat's big things, talking about psychological safety, is really important. So a woman needs to be able to go to her workplace and feel safe there. And let's face it, we spend a lot of our time at work. Granted, a lot of us in Sydney and Melbourne haven't really been in the workplace a lot. But you know what? There's so many people looking forward to getting back to that. So it's a really good time for that that change to occur, for people to feel safe in the workplace again as well.
So Natalie, I'll just ask you about that psychological safety, and you ladies in particular, and like we said, Victoria, New South Wales, women returning to work in physical work into the office or back to the their work environment. So they're going to have to manage their mindset and that in a completely new frame now, because you've been at home for nearly 2 years and working from home. Some of you know may not have even worked at all for the last 18 months. So how do you propose to best recommend that they manage themselves going back into that environment, work environment, with people all around them, with the phones ringing, with you know, getting themselves back into that routine, transiting to work, commuting to work, getting themselves, you know, back into an actual work routine?
Yeah, it's a big topic, actually. And I was speaking to someone the other day about this, that, you know, a lot of women are actually, for those that have had children and gone on maternity leave, have actually likened it to that return to work mentality again. So they feel like they're almost back here again. And a lot of women and men as well, you know, have even changed jobs in between the lockdowns. And so they're going to workplaces that they've never actually met their people in person. So, you know, really, you know, first and foremost, and something I'm really big on, is just, you know, trying to let go of the expectations. So trying to, you know, feel what you're feeling. I'm very big on, you know, being with where you are right now. And that's that whole sort of mind-body connection that, you know, we're here, this is what I'm feeling. Okay, this is why I'm feeling it. But let's come back to, okay, why is work important to me? Why is going to work something that I want to do? And again, it's coming back to your why, right? Because it can be, you know, we can get overwhelmed and we can feel so much fear. But then if we step back from that and say, you know what, this is why it's important to me. And even educating your kids and your family, I'm very big on that. Because all of a sudden now kids might be going back into care, and or they might be doing after school or before school care. So let's educate our family that this is why I want to work. This is why it's important for me. This is what it does for us as a family. So really just, you know, being able to come back into your body, understand your why, and almost, you know, having that mentality, you know, feel the fear, but do it anyway. And I know that that's tricky, but, you know, the only way that we can really overcome and push through uncertainty and fear is to take small steps towards it. So, you know, it's just, again, yeah, saying, okay, well, this is why I'm doing it. I'm going to take this step. And, you know, that first day will probably be a bit challenging. I know, you know, Lisa and I, we've had our own moments of apprehension going back into in-person workshops or areas. But yeah, it's just taking that first step, and that first day will come and it will go. And with each day, confidence will grow. You know, your ability to return and it becomes second nature again, really, you know, will happen.
And you hit the nail right on the head there. The more we talk about it, the easier it becomes to get through it together. So Yes, don't be afraid of putting your insecurities out there, speaking up, use your voice, let someone know, because if you have anxiety or if you suffer from any insecurity about going back into the workplace or transitioning into a new job, you need to talk to someone, because otherwise it'll build up to a place where you don't want to go into, you know, feeling down and out again, or being afraid to go back out of the home and heading into the work environment. So we'll take a little break and listen to we'll hear from one of the show's sponsors, and we'll be back soon.
Hey, Glowgetters, have you heard about Kick-Ass Women? Founded by Jo Sainsbury, Kick-Ass Women is dedicated to empowering and supporting women who are considering a career change into an industry role. Visit our brand new website at www.kickasswomen.com.au or follow Kick-Ass Women on Facebook and LinkedIn today to keep up to date with all things Kick-Ass Women and the incredible opportunities and content we have for you. See you there, Glowgetters.
Okay, so thanks for tuning back in. We're chatting to health and wellbeing coaches Natalie and Lisa from Own Your Own Health Collective, and we're talking about menopause and menopause in the workplace and a couple of other little topics as well. So welcome back, Natalie and Lisa. Walk us through some of the fantastic programs and services Own Your Own Health Co offers and how best they can work for not only women, but workplaces in particular. Now, your website explains it beautifully, but just to kind of give the listeners a nice summary that they can take away and then go and search and seek your Unreal resources themselves. So what can we look to gain from Own Your Own Health Collective?
Yeah, thanks, Jo. So a big focus for us was very much about wanting to support the individual woman and men at times as well, and also the workplace. So, you know, we've had to really pivot our business over the last 2 years. We offer one-on-one coaching and, you know, group programs as well, but we've also gone and created online programs. Mm. So we've got one that's called the Female Advantage, which is very much that introduction to women's menstrual cycles and really helps start to plant the seed around the power that's within us women. And then we've created an online membership program called Perimenopause Power, which is ongoing education, strategies, community support, not just with us, but with, you know, wider community of women too, who are going through exactly the same experience. And then on the flip side, we've got our workplaces. And, you know, for us, a key component of the workplace work we do is doing a needs analysis and understanding exactly what the workplace needs in not just menopause, but also, you know, all around culture, that psychological safety piece, and health and wellbeing too. And so from there, we then tailor our programs based on what that particular workplace needs. But core focus when it comes to menopause is that education, the support, and then also embedding that into the culture as well. And, you know, through coaching, through policies and procedures, so that it's, you know, something that becomes part of the organization. For us, when we started Own Your Health, you know, we never wanted to be a tick and flick organization. We wanted to be an advocate for change and really create cultures within workplaces that saw health and well-being as pivotal for, you know, nurturing their people, helping their people thrive in the workplace. And, you know, it's been a personal mission for mine that, you know, by the time my daughter goes into the workplace, I want her to be valued for the person that she is, and her go in there and feel comfortable knowing that, you know, her workplace has got her back and they're there supporting her from a personal and a workplace perspective as well.
That's right. So in the workplace, training for employees and managers can raise awareness of the effects of this, you know, this whole journey for women. And when these facts of biology are viewed as individual flaws, it can negatively affect women's careers and self-esteem. So we definitely need to introduce a support system, a network within the workplaces, and as you said, create a culture change. And you imagine what the world would be like when we talked about before all these taboo subjects, if they weren't taboo like 30 years ago, the difference it would have made to the world now and what we're experiencing. Like, it's,
The mind boggles.
Oh, it does, doesn't it? But when we understand and we accommodate it's when we create change, and that's definitely something we need to provide to the workplaces, that there is resources like Own Your Own Health Collective offer and training. And definitely training is a big thing, because it needs to come from the top down. So once the managers, the CEOs know about it, they filter it down and they encourage it and support it and promote it and live it, you know, becomes part of the company culture, that this is how we manage these issues and these topics.
It's a good point, Joe, because I think that that's definitely where it starts. And, you know, if I was to say how workplaces, you know, two ideas in relation to how workplaces can approach this. So it is, you know, it no longer is a taboo topic, and it's around having that conversation with managers, you know, the people that run the company, and filtering it down, because that's where it starts. And that's, you know, if they're doing it, well, then employees are more likely to do it. So it's around starting that conversation and having the education, and then also promoting that flexible workplace. And they're the three key things. There just seems to be some resistance around it. And I think that when we talk to some corporates, they love the idea of it, but they still, oh, well, I'm still not sure how we go about it. Don't overthink it. Just get on with it and do it. You know, when that's what we've done with other taboo subjects, and I keep bringing it up, but I'm quite frustrated that, you know, we've approached these other taboo subjects quite successfully now, you know, like parental leave. You know, 15 years ago, you want to take time off to go and look after your child,
your family,
when it's more like, you know, that's ridiculous. Exactly. Now it's totally accepted, you know, and we've got leave arrangements around it, you know, like, and there are a number of companies, a few around the world, that now have menstrual and menopause policy leave. And, you know, women don't want to, they probably don't want to take that, because they like to be doing their work at the time of their life where they're really coming to, like their kids are, even though their kids might be younger, but they're still, they're a bit older.
More independent.
Then just rebounce. That's right. So they can start going back and really concentrating on their job. You know, my kids are 16 and 12, and I'm loving that I've got my own business and I'm growing it, and I can really throw myself into it while still being a mum to them. But they get it, right? So women don't want to have to really worry about taking time off work. But you know what? If they're not feeling great because of what they're going through, there's an opportunity there for them to be able to take that leave. And they're not sick, Joe.
No,
so
that's
it's not
right.
Sick leave, you know. So, and that's why I think menstrual and menopause leave is another thing in the workplace that needs to be well and truly looked at.
Yeah, that's right. Companies introduce the policies and procedures. EA agreements include them, you know. Talk about them in your EA agreements now. Modern awards should be talking about it. It's, as we said, parental leave has been introduced. So, and flexible work. I was talking about this just a couple of days ago. I've just returned from Brisbane from doing a couple of events there. But a conversation come up about, particularly in the return to work sector, like you guys returning to work. So is there going to be a bit of a shift with some organisations or employers thinking, righto, it's back to work, back to the office, no more flexible work arrangements? There is going to be some employers like that. So how they manage that is going to be interesting. But flexible work arrangements are so important nowadays, because a lot of companies have thrived on the working from home, the remote working, the hybrid working, and some obviously cannot survive and cannot operate that way. But flexible working, definitely, you know, as you said, you're not ill. If you, if you're suffering from some kind of symptom today, you're not ill, but you can get at home, work at your own pace, work at your own leisure, go and have a lie down if you need to have a lie down, go and do whatever you do, but you're still present, you're still being productive at home, you're still contributing to your job. So it definitely is got to be on the table, flexible work arrangements, to manage those issues. And particularly, you don't want to push employees out of the workforce. You know, if they don't feel that they can come to work and say, "Hey, can I work from home tomorrow? I'm not feeling the best today. I'll put in 90% from home tomorrow." But yes, it's definitely, I think, number one on the list is allow for that flexible work to allow to retain your employees, I think, in the main instance.
Yeah, and I think it's also shown us too that you don't have to do that traditional 9-to-5 day.
No.
And
definitely.
Yeah, so, you know, it can be done. And look, there's, you know, there's quite a lot of press around the great, you know, the
great resignation.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for, Nat. Nat's really good at finishing my sentences because I have these momentary blocks. And there's been some interesting information around that, and they're talking about that being a real issue around March, April next year. So it'll be really interesting to see the way things go. And I think more women and men will be more likely to actually speak up now because it's been shown that it can work.
Oh, definitely. And you know what I noticed? I've been to Brizzy quite a bit over the last 4 or 5 months, but with the amount of traffic that's not around, like you imagine keeping those remote workers at home, commuting is not such a, you know, a headache anymore. It was not as big as headache. Congestion on the roads, you know, the traffic's more free of flowing. So if workplaces, it was said, disregard the 9-to-5, you know, do staggered rosters over the day for people, allow that flexible working, and the whole community gains from that, you know. It's, and our environment gains from it. Let's cut down the emissions and the carbons out in the world and the pollution. So yeah, there's a lot of positives, but we just need to work out how best to get them working together. So let's get on now. I was going to ask you, how can women best approach their workplaces about introducing the business into their journey? But I think we've probably talked about that, but making the workplaces more supportive and enabling the environments for women to experience these transitions. But we've probably covered that. But if anyone else, if you've got anything else to add to it?
No, I think they'd probably be the main things, you know, starting the conversation, having the environments and, you know, just normalising it. And it does really start from the top down. And look, you know, the meetings that we've had with workplaces is at that, you know, executive HR diversity and inclusion level and understanding how they can actually throw it out and you know, remove that taboo mentality around it.
All right then. Well, so is there anything you'd like the listeners to know? Have you got any special offers you'd like to share today?
We do actually. So as I said earlier, we've launched our Perimenopause Power online membership program, which is access to some great learning modules, to Lisa and I, meal plans, recipes, yoga, meditation sessions, and also, you know, live masterclass coaching sessions. And we're actually offering that at $30 a month. So basically it's $1 a day and that's lifetime access. So if you book in and join that, that's lifetime access at that price. There will be a price rise in the new year, but for the rest of the year, it's a great opportunity to join that Perimenopause Power program and have access to it for a dollar a day, basically.
That's excellent and value. Yep.
I was just going to say too, the program, the membership is, Nat and I are very much about going back to basics and bringing things back to simple. And I think that in the world that we live in today, we don't purposely complicate things, but we do complicate things. And we have many hats that we're wearing and many things that we've got to do and looking for all the information. And, you know, I'm guilty. I do it as well.
But we all do, yes.
And what we're trying to create with the membership is bringing it back to the basics, because often women can make these tweaks or changes that we spoke about earlier that are quite simple, and coming back to, you know, eating, you know, it might be how well you're eating and your movement or, you know, your breathing, for instance. And they're all simple things can actually make a huge difference in menopause. So we often say to women, you know, maybe start with the basics and you know, dial back down to that or tweak back down to that and then see where you're at. And then if it's that next level for, you know, actually seeing a specialist, you know, maybe considering MHT and all those type of things, well, then that can be the next thing that you do as well. You know, you talked about weight gain. So, you know, our metabolism does slow down in menopause. And, you know, the changes in estrogen in our body, it's a natural thing for the weight to be redistributed. Mm-hmm. I can't get the word out. Yeah. And you know, there is that stress response that's heightened, and that adds to the weight thing. And it's about understanding those things that you think, oh, I get that. But it doesn't mean that you don't do the movement to, you know, to help with your bone density and your weight management and your mental clarity through, you know, what that looks like through menopause. So there are a lot of the things that we discuss in the membership so that they can help with those basics.
And I'll just add too, you brought something up which was in my own experience was the HRT. Now, I tried that I found, one, I had some horrendous side effects from, and the other one, then we changed it up and I packed on a heap of weight because it was estrogen loaded. So,
yes,
you know, it doesn't work for everyone. So I don't take anything now. As we said, it was a trial and error thing with me. And back to exactly what you said, the old KISS, keep it simple, and go back to your health, your healthy diet, keeping active, and moderation, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And
but
yeah, so don't automatically go to your medical provider or your practitioner and say, hey, I need HRT, because it doesn't work for everyone, and it's not the be all and end all. So yes, I'm very much a big supporter of what you're saying. Yes, keep it organic and keep it simple, and definitely try a lot of different avenues and lots of in lots of different ingredients in what you eat in your diet, you know, your greens. Mm-hmm. And I know that definitely the greens for me are a big plus in my diet, and the protein. So
I bang on about greens all the time, Joe, and my kids, it's like, we actually had some friends over for dinner recently, and it was on the weekend, so I made some lovely curries, and I'd become so wound up in, you know, getting these curries done. I've got, oh, my God, I've got no greens. And it's like, I was just so shocked. So, you know, it does come down to lifestyle. And, look, there's, you know, you hit a good point that MHT isn't for everyone.
No.
And I'm a big believer that, you know, you've got to have a healthy lifestyle. And, you know, you've heard that term rushing women's syndrome.
Yep.
We are so good at doing it, right? And that's where you need to bring things back and actually stop and take a breath and work out what's working for you. And, you know, Nat's, you know, what Nat's taught me is about, you know, where are you right now? What's it look like? And what can you do to change to where you want to get to? And, you know, we've all got it within us to look at the simplicity and the basics of us. And it doesn't cost us a lot of money to do that. You know, it's really powerful, and, you know, as we are all about keeping healthy simple. So that's particularly what we've tried to put into this membership, and that's why I love it so much.
And it sounds great. So it's a great offer. Thanks very much for that. And we'll put all the links and that offer up under the show notes. Would you like to bring up anything else before we round it out?
I just
want to say thank you. Yeah, I was just going to say thank you for allowing us to share our message. And, you know, I think, again, if there's one thing that we can share, it's that, you know, we're forever a work in progress. We never reach an optimum level of health and well-being and then can say, great, we're done.
Yeah.
I'm there, you know, and it's that constant trial and error, seeing what works, what doesn't work, and also not giving yourself a hard time if you fall off the wagon. You know, if you enjoy that chocolate cake or you have a big night out with a few drinks, you know, just be in that moment you know, just get back on the horse, so to speak, the next day as well. So, yeah, we're forever a work in progress.
No, thank you very much. Thanks, ladies. It's been a great conversation, and one that is sometimes not entered into quite so liberally. So, as I said, we'll put your links up in the show notes and on our website for anyone wanting to reach out to Natalie and Lisa and Own Your Own Health Collective. Take care, ladies. Stay safe and go and spread your wings with your freedom, your newfound freedom, and live life to your fullest. I look forward to catching up with you a little later on, early in the new year, to see how we've been travelling along. But we'll close out the show now. I'll give you some take five tips. You're welcome to hang around.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you. So how to manage menopause at work. I think for many women, experiencing menopause while at work can feel embarrassing and uncomfortable and distressing, but it doesn't have to be. So don't suffer in silence. Take control. Talk to your one-up or your manager. Share your experience and break the taboo. That's the biggest thing. So the menopause can cause many uncomfortable symptoms, but it doesn't have to. You need to manage it yourself and actually openly experience it and share it with others so they can help manage themselves as well as you. So I have a little affirmation today that sometimes you have to accept the fact that certain things will never go back to how they used to be. And that's definitely one of the things with aging. We'll never look like our 25-year-old selves again. That's it, guys. I hope you enjoyed our show and our guests. A very big special thank you to Natalie Moore and Lisa Saunders of Own Your Own Health Collective for sharing so much invaluable information with us. And I hope you've found the information inspiring and definitely something to ponder about. So deciding to integrate menopause support into your workplace, it is important that the key stakeholders in your organisation feel confident, knowledgeable, and assist and clear about the role in making a strategy for success. So the benefits of wellness coaching that Natalie and Lisa offer are vast and holistic in nature. So ultimately, the largest and most powerful benefit is that you get to live the wholesome and balanced life that you have always envisioned for yourself. Nothing is more beneficial than you becoming the best version of yourself, living to your full potential. Well, as always, I really appreciate you guys giving me your time to listen to this radio show. You can find more information about the show in the show notes and Natalie and Lisa's Own Your Own Health Collective business. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. And that's all for today's show. Thanks for your company and for listening to Kick-Ass Radio. It's not goodbye, but see you later. Stay safe and well. Keep in touch. Pos comms. Go on. Get your glow on. Become a glow-getter. See you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Kick-Ass Radio, where we kick goals and deliver empowering conversations for women. Want to hear more from Kick-Ass Women and Joe Sainsbury? Visit the Kick-Ass Women website or follow Kick-Ass Women on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. See you on the next episode of Kick-Ass Radio.